Hello, friends. Welcome back to Hebrews chapter 1 today. And as we open the book, I want to transport us back to the first century, back to the gathering of believers who first heard the preacher deliver this message. It would likely be Sunday evening, with the warm Mediterranean sun setting slowly in the west. Friends are gathered, brothers and sisters of shared faith and shared trials. Songs of hope fill the air. As the worship leader takes a seat, a hush falls on the crowd. Anticipation. The preacher steps forward, sermon in hand. The scroll is unrolled, and he begins to speak. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Okay, so I'm not going to preach the whole thing, but I do want you to get a sense of the power of these words. This sermon is oratory brilliance, but you and I get a pause button so we can talk it through. Also, so I don't have to maintain the drama. My style's a bit more casual, but wow, does this preacher impress me. In the past, God spoke. Right to the heart of it. The preacher is stirring something in us, reminding us of the many times that we have heard God's word and felt God move. All the people gathered are people of the word. Jewish Christians, their whole lives were built on this. God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. With one sentence, he reminds them of the foundation of all their scriptures. God spoke. Of course, he means the Old Testament. For them, that was the whole Bible. Some New Testament letters were in circulation, but not complete. Verse 2. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The preacher wants us to grapple with the reality of who it is that spoke in these last days. God has spoken through many prophets, but this is different. It's sort of like if you and a friend talk to a stranger, and afterwards your friend says to you, "Do you realize who that was?" This is no regular prophet. This is the Son, the heir. That's a powerful word. All inheritance, all the responsibility to lead and rule went to the heir. The empire went to the heir. That's who spoke, the heir of all things. Through whom also he made the universe. Wow. Take a look around at your universe. It was made through him. Some scholars have attempted to explain it this way. The Father is the architect, the Son the contractor, and the Spirit the carpenter. I don't know how it worked exactly, but I think the point here is that we recognize our Creator and listen when he speaks. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The radiance, literally the shining forth of God's glory. To look at him is to see the light of God shining through. The exact representation. The word here is one that engravers used for an exact replica. The Son is a precise representation of who God is. To see the Son is to see God. He is God's image. And then, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I am often impressed by something that lasts, maybe because so few things do, and I am always curious to know what sustains it, what makes it last. The Son of God sustains everything by his word. Good reason to listen when he speaks. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. First, he was presented as prophet. Now he is both priest and king. All of this will come back in much detail soon. But for now, it's enough to simply be amazed. The Son sits at the right hand of the Majesty. Verse 4. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And here we arrive at a key word in Hebrews, superior. It's as though the preacher recognizes that there are many voices speaking to each of us, vying for attention, calling us to listen, calling us back to those things we left behind to follow Christ. And so the preacher must establish the voice of God's Son as the voice, the most important voice you will ever hear. Now, for this Hebrew audience, the toughest voice to ignore would be the voice of Jewish tradition and of the Old Testament. And surely there were many non-believing Jews telling them that they had left the scriptures behind for this so-called Christ. How could they leave the Word of God, delivered by angels and prophets, by heroes like Moses, archangels like Gabriel and Michael? How can you ignore the words of angels? Hey, angels are awesome. But the Son is better than anything they got up there. And notice the phrase, as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. What name is that exactly? And has anyone noticed that we haven't used his name? I mean, we all know who he's talking about, right? Starts with a J, rhymes with, you know. But the preacher doesn't use it. He mentions the name, but doesn't say the name. Yet, he's building tension. For now, he just calls him the Son. For all of us who take it so casually that we know the name of God's Son, he wants to stir in us a little bit of that feeling that Moses had back at the burning bush, hearing the voice of God, but desperate to know his name. Or perhaps the feeling of Agur in Proverbs 30, who came to a dramatic realization. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. He feels like a brute beast because he doesn't know God. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his Son? That reference to God's Son is in the Old Testament, with an anguished request to know his name. The name wasn't revealed, but the Son was promised. And for these Hebrews tempted to go back, the preacher takes them back to the Old Testament to see how it all points forward and how the Son is superior. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? That's Psalm 2. Or again, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." That's 2 Samuel 7, a promise from God to David. It appeared to point to Solomon, but much of it wasn't fulfilled. Solomon's kingdom didn't last. He was a shadow fulfillment. That promise was about the Son. Verse 6. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." In speaking of angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Now, if you're sitting in that first audience of Hebrew Christians, you all recognize these verses. Deuteronomy, the 104th Psalm, the 45th Psalm. Much of the audience mouths the words along with the preacher. We memorize them as kids. We're Jewish. And you overhear a whisper behind you saying what you're all thinking. "I know that verse, but I never knew it was about..." Shush. Let the preacher say it. Verse 10. He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment." Psalm 102. That one always quiets my soul. Look up at the evening skies. Sunset lights up the rolling clouds with deep hues of purple and orange. The clouds roll across to the east, where darker tones welcome the night, and the first stars begin to sparkle. He stretched out the heavens. They will perish, but he will remain. And that was written about the sun? Wow. Verse 12. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. 13. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Psalm 110. A curious one. It's about a king ruling from Zion and a battle for the kingdoms of the whole earth. We'll come back to that one. The preacher finishes his Old Testament quotes for now. Our attention is lifted to the heavens to see the Son of God exalted in glory. Now the angels are also heavenly, so he makes one final clarification. Verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The angels may be awesome, but they've got nothing on God's Son. So what about his name? Hit that pause button and I'll meet you back here in chapter 2.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.